Welcome to Smartless.
Is what we normally would say when we do an opening. But today is different because today is Welcome to Smartless.
Well, that's what I just said.
Pretty close.
Smart.
Do you have a callback for Grease today?
Will's wearing a white t-shirt.
Do we have a mute button for my laughter? Because, Jason, you got me rolling.
Yeah, if you just pull up the sleeves there, you can look like Danny Terrio.
That.
Wait, what was it? What was the name of John Travolta's character in Grease?
Danny Zuko.
Danny Zuko, dude.
Danny Zuko.
Yeah.
And Danny Terrio was the host of... not Dance Nation.
No, it
was Dance Party.
Dance Fever. So, Dance Fever,
good. Yeah, my 14-year-old is drinking coffee, has done for the last, I don't know, 6 months or so. And
very grown-up thing.
Yeah.
I was surprised at what a reflex I had to her drinking coffee. I thought, well, wait a second, she's too young for that. Like, I was reacting like she was, like, she poured herself a couple of fingers of scotch, you know, neat.
Why? Because it's too early. She's too young.
I feel like kids aren't supposed to drink coffee until they're... Not kids till they're 18.
You know what, though? Archie's been doing it at Archie's 12 and he's drinking coffee.
Truly?
Yeah.
But for girls, I think it's those Olsen twins that they were always photographed with a Starbucks coffee. So the young girls probably thought, well, that's cool. I want to be like the Olsen twins.
You want to hang this on the Olsen twins?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, the old wives' tale that it stunts your growth. And, you know, God bless them both. They're not tall, right?
Okay, and we'll be right back with the word from our sponsors. Jason, can I talk to you for a minute?
No, but listen, I love them, and
they're adorable and sweet and normal.
Yeah, believe me, they're not
very sweet.
Bummed out about that. Their average height. They're doing okay.
Wait, Jason, now you're taking a swig of your coffee.
That's right. Well, I'm tall enough
from Starbucks.
I'm tall enough. Yeah. I'm fine. I did.
How tall are you?
Well, that was my point. I'm 5'11", and until maybe 5 years ago, I just kind of rounded up to 6 foot.
Yeah.
And I hit F it. I'm all about being overly honest. Now I'm 5'11", damn it.
You remember what I did to my friend Eli, who I was working with? I told you about that. I think I told both you guys that Eli kept saying he was 6 feet, and I don't want to call him out. I'll take his name out. My friend. And is that too late?
No, we're going to call everybody out in this.
It's way too late.
And then he said, he was 6 feet. And finally, one day, I was like, "Dude, you're not 6 feet." And he was like, "Yes, I am." So
he's not even 5'11", right?
So we got a measuring, and it's like, "You got to take your shoes off." He's like, "Oh fuck, I got to take my shoes off." And then I said, "And your hat,
yeah,
and your stilts,
and comb your hair, yeah, bring your hair down to your scalp."
So, yeah, 5'11". And I said, it's okay. You don't need to be. Not everybody.
How tall are you, Will? How tall are you?
I'm like pushing 6'3".
No.
I'm
that means you're 6'2". God, we just had the conversation.
I'm saying I'm 6'2".
Yeah,
we literally
just talked about not lying.
I'm not lying.
What about you, Sean?
I'm 6". No, I'm 5'11".
Yeah.
I'm a
But wait a minute.
Guest.
How do you?
Wait, mystery guest. You have to hush, mystery guest.
Wait, we have a mystery.
God. All right, you know what? Here, let's just bring her on now. She's eager to talk, clearly.
Yeah.
Folks.
Yes.
Today we have joining us the standard bearer for all who look to be successful, man or woman, at being a professional, a parent, a partner, a friend, an adult child, a leader, an inspiration, a role model, an icon, and a mogul. Okay?
Wow.
She has more beauty, humor, and warmth than one person can use in 3 lifetimes. She's also got an Oscar, an Emmy, a Golden Globe, a SAG. She's got 2 teenagers, a smoking husband, a dozen cats, 8 pandas, and she speaks every language currently known. But all these things together may not be bigger than her lifestyle company that rhymes with soup. Friends, it's Gwyneth Paltrow.
It's Goop.
No.
Yeah.
It's Gwyneth.
Oh, hi. My God.
Hi, guys. Hi. I'm sorry. I thought I was on mute.
Look at how adorable. Even with headphones on, you're the cutest thing in the world.
Ever.
And, of course, they're fancy headphones.
Very nice of you to join us. I want to jump right off to the thing. You know, I do a lot of deep research on...
You look like you're reading off a prompter.
Well, yeah, this is Wikipedia cut and pasted.
Okay.
What about studying anthropology at the University of California? What? That sounds...
That's actually not true.
Come on.
Huh.
Wikipedia doesn't lie.
I studied art history at UC Santa Barbara, amongst other things. But then I dropped out.
Never anthropology?
No, but I just loved it. I liked, you know, Margaret Mead, and I still do. And my mom was... I always said to her, I want to be an actress like you. And she said, oh, don't. You're way too smart. Be a... anthropologist.
Well, now, really quick, your mom, for my sister in Wisconsin,
Blythe Danner,
who was actually played Will's mom on the program Will and Grace. And so I've known your mom for a long time, and she's one of the greatest actresses, one of the nicest, sweetest people you'll ever meet on the planet. I love her.
I worked with her, too. I can vouch for that.
Yeah.
I did, too. She played Christina's mom on Up All Night. Remember, Sean?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So we've all worked with your mom, and we
she gets around.
Let's just get it out of the way. We love your mom.
You've worked with your mom, yes, yeah.
Yes, I came out of her vagina, mm-hmm. and I've worked with her mm-hmm. multiple times.
This is
so
a family
I can
show.
Also vouch for her.
What about when she said you're too smart to be an actress? What I haven't heard that before. I've heard like, it's not a meritocracy and it's all a bunch of fakes and phonies.
Right.
But that...
You've heard that when people were talking to you? You've heard that?
Yeah.
But to jump on that, Jason, because being the only one here out of the bunch of us today who don't have children and forgets mm-hmm. along the lines of where Jason is going, why do parents in show business... Yeah. always try to discourage their children yeah. from entering the same business in which they dreamed of being a part of.
It is amazing.
Why is that?
I think because it's tough. I mean, it's very, very difficult to succeed. And I think most days it can be very demoralizing. And I think as parents, right, you fundamentally want to protect your children from pain and disappointment. Yeah. And you know firsthand how hard it can be. And we're successful. So, or I used to be before I quit. But
you're doing okay. You're doing
but,
all right.
Wait, you quit? Let's get into that.
I mean, you know.
She has stepped back.
More or less. I haven't fully quit, but it's been a while.
You've been busy with your very successful business that goes by the name Goop, which has been incredibly successful. And I know my friend John Alexander is a painter and lives in New York, and he has his studio's in Amagansett, and you guys had one of your first shops was like on his driveway there. And I remember at first he was like, God, the Goopies, they're in here and they're taking over my driveway. No, he was just like all the young people who worked there. And then within like 2 weeks, he's like, these people are great. I love them and they bring me coffee and, you know.
Now, a lot of people will call you, those who are invited to be your friend and know you well, will call you GP.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where, correct me if I'm wrong, the name came from. It's GP, but in the middle there are two O's because somebody told you early on that successful online companies have two O's in them. Is that mm-hmm. correct?
This is a true story.
Is that true?
That's amazing.
Is that great?
I was trying to figure out what to call it. I didn't want my name in it. And I wanted it to sort of maybe be a made up word or something that was short. And I was consulting with an old friend of mine named Peter Arnell, who was like a marketing and advertising genius in New York. And he was trying to help me. And he was just like, I got it. It's Goop. And I was like, that's terrible. I mean, it's not. I think the original connotation is probably not that delicious sounding Goop.
How long are we going to have to wait for Jube, Jason? When is Jube coming?
We're working on that. He's launching our men's.
Yeah, it's a men's
is
lifestyle.
He?
Yeah, well, it's let's go. We're making news, Gwyneth. Let's announce it now.
Will's would be whoa.
Ooh-ah.
Whoa.
Speaking of vaginas, I said to I was dropping my son off at school on the west side today, and I said we were... We're in the car, and I go, stop at the stoplight. I wanted to see his reaction. I go, so, Abe, we just got this time here, you and me in the car. I said, I guess it's time. He's 10. We talk about the birds and the bees. And the look, I just wanted to see him. And he just goes like this. No.
It was a look of disgust, listener.
Yeah.
He's like, Dad, I learned it all on Pornhub.
Like, he's like, I know everything. He's like, please don't say anything right now. Please don't say anything more. I know how Aaron is like, okay, all right.
Wait, you didn't drill down on that, pun intended? You didn't say, hey, what? Tell me what you know. Tell me how you think it happens.
He turns out he knows. But I was just going to say, it made me think when you said that you came out of your mom's vagina. It just made me think I was having this conversation. I didn't get to that, but I was just having a conversation with one of my children this morning about it.
Gwyneth, do you remember your conversation with both your kids, with Apple and Moses, about birds and the bees? Did you ever have it?
You know,
I haven't done it yet with a 14-year-old.
So at their elementary school here in Los Angeles where they went, they gave them the most comprehensive sex ed class in the sixth grade that they came home. Sixth grade, they came home and they had been taught everything. And when I say everything, I mean everything. It was wild.
Our god kids go to the same school or went.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that it was too early, too late, or right on time?
I thought it was perfect.
What's that, 12 years old, sixth grade?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's pretty right.
Well, how did you know that, like, did you have them download you on what they...
I mean, my daughter came home with her best friend, Emily, and she was like, they were stunned, and they had learned things that they had never fathomed.
Mom, there's not a stork involved at all. There's no birds.
No, but they had taught them about venereal disease and all different kinds of sex. Not, you know, it was like very, very comprehensive. And so they were a bit stunned.
I tried with my 14-year-old and then...
I wish I was there.
pardon the term here, but aborted when I kind of got off the rails a little bit because I got to the point of explaining... I got right up to ejaculation, and I didn't want to use that word or be any more specific about that moment. So I just said that the penis is so happy about the connection that it screams into the woman.
Huh.
And that's even more terrifying.
That's why I pulled the ripcord and
the penis scream.
This is
I turned up the radio.
I want to pull the ripcord. This is one of the worst.
Well, I didn't.
And then the dick barfed. That would have been better.
That's the boy version.
Jesus Christ, baby. Yeah.
I have girls.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Gwyneth, I want to ask you a question about goop.
Go ahead. Please do.
Now, I've been to the website. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
Is the idea behind Goop that it's like an Amazon site kind of for women? Because remember, for those who are listening, there's this deli in town called Jerry's Deli. And when you go there, you open the menu and there's thousands of things you can order. You can get anything you want at this deli. And that's kind of what I thought of when I went to Goop for the first time. I was like, oh, wow, you literally can get anything.
She loves that comparison.
Jerry's
it
Deli.
Is the Jerry's.
Jerry's Deli is the greatest deli in the world.
Of female lifestyle.
It is.
Guy Starkman's just elated.
No, I think, first of all, that's really good feedback because also we've been trying to work on clarifying the offering a little bit. And, you know, when I started, I just was super interested in connecting people to interesting things and great doctors or tacos or whatever the case may be. And because I didn't conceive of it as a business when I launched it, and I was talking about a variety of subjects, I kind of had the latitude to go into a lot of different verticals when we started to monetize, right? So we could do a men's sweatshirt or a clean deodorant or, you know, stuff to make recipes with. And so, yes, I think that kind of the overarching theme is we have tools and products and content to help people really optimize their lives. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's a lifestyle brand, we can kind of sell a lot, but also we don't want it to be overwhelming and confusing. So actually we're in the process right now of streamlining a little bit.
Has Sean's question made you, are you going to have like a conference call after this and be like, guys, we need to change our approach?
No, I was going to.
We need better size.
I was going to say, you know, behind any brand that you've built is a trust from the consumers, and you've built this trust that Gwyneth Paltrow and the brand Goop, you can trust that anything you go to get there is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You're curating what you think in whatever sort of area, what you think is the best product for this particular need.
Right. So, and some of those products we make and some of them we buy, like amazing, you know, brands that we find that we fall in love with that adhere to our standards of non-toxic, et cetera.
Right. And when you started it, where did the idea come from? What was the inspiration? And like, were you like, I need to take a break from acting or whatever, mm-hmm. and really delve into this? Or was it just something that you kind of did on the side that became something?
You know, it's funny. When I was little, I really, really, really wanted to be an actress. And that is because I grew up watching Blythe Danner rehearse Masha and the Three Sisters, yeah, or Blanche DuBois, or all of these, like, or, you know, Shakespeare in the Park. Like, I grew up watching this woman fully inhabit herself and her power on stage. And I thought, like, gosh, I want to be like that. And so that's what you do in order to, as a woman, you know, especially at that time, you didn't see a lot of, you know, even on Wall Street, like the women who were on Wall Street were sort of approximating a male, you know, that male archetypal thing instead of doing it as a woman. And I saw my mother in all of her femininity and talent, like just being incredible. So I thought that's what I wanted to do. And so that's what I started to do. And I
nailed it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
To say the least. Yeah.
I had a lot of success, but I'm also really a homebody. And I love my family. And I've had all my best friends either since kindergarten or seventh grade when I moved schools. Like, I was lonely being, you know, in a hotel room in Toronto, ordering room service. And all my friends were, you know, in New York or in college, you know, and I just felt like a little bit of a fish out of water. And so that feeling grew. And then once I had my daughter, I was like, I can't do this. Like, I right. can't leave her.
For 3-4 months in a trailer.
I just can't do it. I yeah. can't. And
but you
so,
did see your mom manage an ability to take you with her when she was on location, yes?
Yeah, but I think she also gave up a lot of amazing film roles. Like, if I told you guys some of the parts that she passed on, like, you wouldn't believe it. It's pretty great. It's pretty crazy.
I'm sure.
Because of us. And then every summer she would go to the Williamstown Theater Festival and she would do one or two plays and we would all go and we would go to camp and we had the best time in the summers doing that. And then she would try to do movies that were in LA or TV. You know, she was very cognizant of not, you know, going to Europe for 4 months to film and leaving us at home. I mean, I think she did it a couple of times. She did a miniseries once in Germany and the UK. But then we got to go over there and see her. But you know how it is. It's,
yeah.
If you have little kids, it's hard to go, you know.
Especially once you guys get into school, too, and you've got a social continuity that you want to, you know.
Yeah. I just, that's something that I know that Jason, as another person who's got kids that I know, it's something that we're always just, Jason, I was thinking the other day about when we were like in our early 30s and we were just, stuff would happen. We'd like do whatever because we had no kids. We had no responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And now everything is always seen through the lens of, does it work for my kids? Like, you know,
them first.
Like somebody, I was recently was going to go to Toronto to do this thing. And I'm like, I can't go right now because I can't go to quarantine. I can't be away from my kids and I can't be away for 14, or I can't not have the ability to come home on the weekend. Like there's just no way. It's out of the question. It's a non-starter. Can't do it. Next.
Yeah. Exactly.
They wreck everything.
So then because of that, you kind of felt that being at home, you wanted to begin another kind of dream of yours or something that you were drawn to?
Well, I was always so passionate about cooking and traveling and discovering things. And when I had done films in far-flung places, I had kind of cracked the cities and I had notebooks full of, you know, I would ask, like when I was shooting The Talented Mr. Ripley, we were in Naples and the hotel concierge, I said, where's the best place to get pizza? And the concierge told me three places. And then I asked the camera truck driver, where's the best place to get pizza? Totally different answer. Yeah. And that guy's pizza was a million times better. So I was like, tourists are getting hosed by their, you know, concierge. Like, this isn't the right place to go. And so I started, you know, aggregating all that information and then sharing it with my friends. And I just get so much pleasure out of that.
So is Goop international as well? Like, in other words, like if I go to Peru and I want to know where to get, you know, a good sweater. Like, is there?
I don't know if we have a Peru. I think we have a Peru guide. It's pretty international. There's some areas we haven't covered, but it's all the major cities are covered for sure.
Wow.
Do you guys cover like drugs too?
Oh,
yeah, we do. Psychedelics absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Wait, speaking of which, I heard, is it true that there, I apologize, I have not done great research. I would have seen the Goop show on Netflix, but I hear on that either you take psychedelics or somebody does. And yeah.
So one of the episodes was, you know, it's actually a really, really fascinating field, and it's emerging for trauma, for healing trauma.
Yeah.
So there's a well-established organization called MAPS, the Multidisciplinary Association of Psychedelic Studies. And they're going through a trial with the FDA right now on with veterans. And it's really, really incredible. Like, there, people are taking MDMA, medical grade MDMA, or psilocybin, which is mushrooms, and being able to heal incredible deep trauma, and being able to get off other antidepressants or feeling less suicidal. So this is really going to be the emerging modality.
Yeah, I've heard so much about it.
Is it microdosing, or is it controlled full trips?
So in the case of the MDMA, it's a high dose. With the practitioner and the therapist there. So microdosing psilocybin has been shown to really help with depression, and that's a microdose. So people take microdose, you know, and they are, their outlook on life is really changing, and they're studying that right now as well, which is pretty cool.
I know. I got prescribed glow sticks by my doctor
two weeks ago. No, yeah. That's a different thing. Yeah. It's a different...
And a rave and glow sticks.
Uh-huh. Mm.
But it does... I do know a couple people who are microdosing, and it seems to have had really good effect. In the I guess they've been doing it for a while now, and they talk about the fact that they're not... They don't feel high at all. They don't feel out of it, but they just don't... Right. They were able to get off other prescription meds, which I think is really the direction we should be going in.
And did you do this on the show, Gwyneth?
I did not, but some of my team did. I did not. But on one episode, the psychedelics episode, some of our team from Goop went to Jamaica and did psilocybin. So
have not yet returned, I heard.
They've not yet returned.
Cannot be found.
You said tried psilocybin. You mean they just took shrooms?
They took shrooms. That's right. But in a therapeutic setting.
Sure.
Yeah, because I don't want to puke. I don't want to like get sick.
Does that mean a bean? No. Is that code for a bean bag? What's a therapeutic setting?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I was going to say I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet. It's chewy. It's cool. It's creamy all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it. First of all, an absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartlist. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell ya, of all guests we've had on SmartList, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye, Seps. All right, now let's say Apple comes to you and she says she wants to be an actress, or maybe she is already. I apologize. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, I think parenting is such an interesting exploration of your own projections and judgments and et cetera, right? So I think my goal with both my children all the time is to try to create an environment where they feel that they are accepted for who they are. And so I try not to steer them towards or away from anything, because I think implicit in that is I'm judging you for your choice.
That's a mistake.
He heard judgment and he knew it was a negative.
Yeah, yeah. They're not going to have any fear of anything. Way to go. Fear is such a...
But obviously she would look at your experience and go, well, this would be safe. I've got a great example of success in this. And I can, and a lot of times that's kind of just the key. If you don't have a barrier in front of it and you feel somewhat confident, 9 times out of 10, you're going to land on something pretty great.
I mean, I think she'll be whatever she wants to be, and hopefully she'll, you know, I hope she's polite and happy and as normal as possible, and that she's self-aware and, you know, all those kinds of things. And if she wants to act, then I'll totally support that.
Your kids are starting to get to that age of college, right? And starting to think about, like,
yeah, she's almost 17.
Oh my God. That is a comedy-sized mug, by the way.
Thank you.
Can I get that on the website? That is a good-looking coffee
That
mug.
Is a great mug.
Yeah, that is really good.
Actually,
looking.
We don't sell these mugs.
Yet.
Will. What about, I'm going to be such a mess when my kids go off to college. I'm not going to be good at being an empty nester at all.
Oh my God.
I'm not sure what
don't.
I'm going to do.
I'll be a wreck. Right?
Why don't we all just
I can tell you what you're going to do.
What's that?
Probably play golf like one more day a week than you already do.
And sit where you're sitting.
Yeah.
Jason's wife told me recently, she told me, like, because I talked to Jason's wife a lot on the phone. In fact, Amanda and I FaceTime a lot.
You FaceTime a little bit more than I think is appropriate. Yeah. Why don't you just call her? You don't need to be staring at each other when you're discussing things.
We like to read. We're trying to read each other. It's called human connection, you weirdo.
Pick it up in the voice instead.
So she goes, I don't mind that you guys are playing so much golf, but I don't want him to get soft. And I was like, too late. You know, I mean, let's be real.
The golf bod.
Yeah, we got the golf thing. But having the kids go away, that is something that you're staring down the barrel of in the next couple of years, right? I don't want to cause it.
No, it's okay. If I cry, forgive me.
We'd love to get you crying. I don't think we've had a crying guest
yet. That would be great.
Let's work on that.
Keep going, Will.
Here's the thing. We know she's won an Academy Award, amongst other things. We know you could cry, but we want real.
She could fake it really
based on your own life tears, if that's okay.
Do you have a strategy for the empty nest thing? Have you decided what you're going to do about it?
This is good. Keep going.
Psilocybin. A lot of psilocybin.
I'm going to do a lot of psilocybin.
There we go.
And, good idea.
You know what I think the strategy might be is maybe move to a different house. Sure.
Like just outside the university?
Exactly. Like I could go pretty near where she's going to go to college, and then I don't have to walk by an empty bedroom or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move into like a 2-bedroom apartment.
I'm considering that.
Yeah.
You
know what's so funny? When I was in college, I used to call my mom at like 1 or 2 in the morning because I had no consideration for her sleep pattern. And every time she would answer the phone, she'd go, "Hello, hello, hello," and I'd go, "Mom, are you sleeping?" "No, I'm up. I'm up. What's up? I'm up." I was like, "Well, it's not a sign of weakness if you're sleeping. Just call me back." she wanted to be the best perfect mom everywhere all the time. Aww. And I was such an asshole for calling her at 2 in the morning. But
she liked to keep an eye on you, dude. Come on.
Gwyneth, my mom grew up with one eye, so that was that joke.
show.
You know, Gwyneth, I'm looking at you drinking that coffee. It makes me think you're probably the Yeah, exactly.
It's the one person, right?
I know that might not have a vice.
Not tea. Okay,
wait.
Do you have a vice?
It's like a matcha.
You're going to guess what the vice is or what's in the...
I'm trying to guess what she's drinking.
Oh, I know what it is. It is... It's green tea.
No, she said it's not tea.
Oh, it's not tea. It's yerba mate.
No.
It's...
Oh, fuck. You.
It's hot water and lemon with a sneeze of honey.
You are maxing out what we know about alternative cool goopier beverages.
Exactly. It's goopier than...
What is mushroom. It? It's mushroom tea, not the psilocybin stuff.
Reishi? No, it's not.
No, it's like root of something. It's like fucking
it's
root
steamed.
Of psilocybin.
It's eye of newt, wing of bat.
Nailed it.
DMT.
Nailed it.
It's pure DMT.
It's bone broth.
Of course, it's bone broth.
What kind of bone?
Are you being serious? Is it really
bone
broth?
What kind of bone? Skeleton bone.
Human bone?
Yes.
Human bone. Oh, that's why she looks so good. Guys, she's...
Goop is extreme.
We just confirmed QAnon that we
really... Exactly. That's what I was going to say the same. No, it's chicken broth.
It's bone broth. But we used to... That's what we used to call when you have too many dudes in a hot tub. We'd call it bone broth.
Yeah. Or last Saturday, in my case. Yes.
What about a vice, Gwyneth? I want to know. Do you have one?
Oh, yeah. Well, I used to have many more vices. Like, I really loved cigarettes.
Yeah.
Loved.
Me too.
Same.
Loved. I miss it.
Yeah.
Do you still miss it?
I still...
Every once in a while.
Every once in a while. I mean, I haven't smoked in a really long time now, but every once in a while.
You haven't had one?
You know, I quit my, pack-a-day habit when I was probably 24 years old. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't smoke for a long, long time. And then I did a movie called The Royal Tenenbaums where I had to smoke in the movie. And I was like, oh, this is quite nice. And then I would smoke a little bit. And then I stopped. And then I did The Talented Mr. Ripley where I had to smoke. So I would maybe, you know, I had a long time of not smoking and then maybe having one every once in a while. And then I had my kids and didn't smoke forever. And then and then maybe for a couple years after that, maybe one at a party, like one a year or something like that.
That wouldn't get you nauseous?
No, I loved it. But then now I haven't smoked in years and I do miss it because I just... You know, yeah, I think it's our generation too, right? It was like it somehow didn't fully sink in how bad for us it was, and
it's also
like
social, right? It's a social,
and it was so... I don't know. I was like first thing in the morning with a cup of coffee and a cigarette, which is so gross, by the way. Like that
I
is
guess.
Gross.
Well,
I guess it's gross. Let me just say this. Here's I'm a little update. I'm going to give you guys a little spoiler alert. Smoking still cool. Next subject.
Kids. Okay.
No, you know, I used to be like, I used to smoke a lot. I don't smoke that much anymore, but I do.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Okay, well.
Every time I chat with Will, like on a FaceTime or something, and he has a cigarette, I always start with, oh, good, you're still smoking? Good. Good. That's the only reason I was calling.
Right. But I like alcohol, but also I've been on this, I've been super... I don't know. I've been on a bit of a clean out since basically during quarantine. I was drinking 7 nights a week and making pasta and eating bread. Like I went totally off the rails. I mean, who drinks multiple drinks 7 nights a week? Like that's not healthy.
Gwyneth Paltrow does.
I know. Yeah. During quarantine.
But no, wait, what does this look like? Are we talking about like a nice wine or are you just going for the cheap hard stuff?
Whiskey. Like I love whiskey. So I would have and I make this fantastic drink called a Buster Paltrow, which I named after my grandfather who loved whiskey sours.
Yeah.
And it's this great quinoa whiskey from this distillery in Tennessee with maple syrup and lemon juice. And it's just heaven. And I would have two of those every night of quarantine, basically.
Well, who knew? Nobody knew what was happening. You were living your best life. And
I know.
It sounds
but
like
it
you were spending
much.
A lot of time with Dandies. If you're going to spend time with Dandies, you're going to have a lot of cocktails.
By the way, I make Dandies a Buster Paltrow every Sunday. So he knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But wait, so what do two drinks do to you? Do you remember going to bed every night?
Of course. I'm not blackout, but...
But some people, their tolerance is low, I guess,
really?
If you're doing it every night. So wait, would three or four get you into a blackout?
I don't. That's too much. I wouldn't go.
I need to know what's going to get you. Wait, into are a you? Black.
Yeah. Why do you need to know?
Yeah. Why do you need
this
to know?
It sounds like I'm trying to know. Because I'm fascinated with people's tolerance. You know, some people they can just drink or smoke a bunch of weed. It never affects them. And then other people they just get around it and they get crazy.
Yeah, I'm not like that.
Yeah. I mean, you seem like we've met a few times, and you're always so wonderful and warm and kind and like inviting and in control and calm. And have a light around you. And is that like what makes you fall apart? Like I can't imagine you falling apart at the seams.
I do. I fall. You know what makes me fall apart the most is, I think I'm not great at taking kind of emotional inventory all the time. I think I'm a good white knuckler. Like I'm like, I can fucking do it. I can get through it. Like I can, you know. And then, so there will be a cumulative effect there where I'm like,
Do you snap at that moment?
Yeah, I can't see you getting mad.
Like, I'll cry. I'm not a mad, like, I'll be passive aggressive, or I'll be like, you know, my kids will come to the kitchen in the middle of it and I'll be like, I'm on a phone call, guys. Like, do you see, you know what I mean? So I'll be a little short-tempered.
Monster.
But I don't snap. Like, I don't yell. I turn into like the waspy side of me. I'm half Jewish and half, I go wasp. I go like cold, internal. I just like shut down. No anger, no outbursts.
Have you ever seen Jason if somebody forgets to charge his Tesla? Have you ever seen that?
No.
That wasn't a high point for me. Okay. It was after a really bad round of
golf.
You
want to run. You want to run.
Wait, now, if you don't snap, does that mean that your kids kind of know that push comes to shove, we need not worry about mom? I feel like kids might need to be afraid of consequences a little bit. I mean, are you a pushover?
No, not at all. And they know, I think they're recalibrated, right? And I think every kid is really smart at understanding what their parents' triggers are and the moods are. And they're so tuned into us. I think, you know, they said to me the other day, actually, that they're like, you can be so scary and because you're quiet.
Right.
So
calm before the storm. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't, nope. I didn't.
Now, what about your dude? Is he the disciplinarian in the house?
I mean, our approach is like, be super honest, super transparent with the kids always. And like, if something's, and also now they're all 15, 16, and 17, we have four together. So they're pretty well who they are. And there's not a lot of like deeply corrective stuff. You know, I think you want to continue to guide your kids a little bit in towards the right end. And I always think about like, who are we trying to put into the world when they're 18 and come at it from that point of view, as opposed to being reactive. Like, I think our parents' generation really parented out of instinct. And I'm not sure that's the best way always. I think there could be, you know, it might behoove our children for us to have some strategy and like big picture thinking around how to raise kids.
It's funny. My parents came from the generation. I'm Canadian, but also very fairly, I guess, waspy background. And they would say it was a lot more of like, there are things you should and shouldn't do. You should be this way and you should not be this way. And it was like, well, what does that mean? And it wasn't tailored to your experience. It was, no, this is the way you behave and this is not the way you behave. And there were just absolutes in that way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't allow for a lot of
mistakes.
Well, yeah, first of all, it doesn't allow for a lot of mistakes, but it also doesn't accommodate, you know, people's or kids' personalities or what they're going through. And obviously that sort of shifted. I think that's a generational thing.
Sort of, or the criteria's changed, right? It's like—
Certainly.
Now we're so helpful and we want to remove all their obstacles. And I'm not sure that the outcome of that is so great either.
Exactly. So it's tough to try to, because you have that, it sounds like, well, I certainly have that instilled in me. And I know that there are parts of that that aren't necessarily right, but there are other parts of it that are good in terms of like, how do you become a member of society, part of the greater good? I mean, again, this might be a Canadian idea, but this idea that we all have to contribute to this thing. And so there are things that we have to do that aren't necessarily things that you want to do.
So you want like you got to pass the puck. You might want to shoot it, but you're saying
there's always that.
But I think you can do that. Like, you can explain, hey, this is why you might want to pass the puck, but without the shame that goes. That. I don't even know what that means.
No, I just love you said it. It's
Canadian
it's so
parenting.
Good.
It's like a hockey thing. It's I'm out.
Okay,
I'm
fine. but without shaming the child for the fact, you know, good people pass the puck. Like, that is not the message that you want. It's like, hey, we live in a society where teamwork is a great thing, and this is totally normal. It might not be your instinct, but you'll find if you do pass the puck, it's gonna, you know, cultivate camaraderie and teamwork. You know what I mean? There's a way to do it, I think, that's not like you're a bad person for not passing
yeah.
the puck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think
do you
right.
find them more advanced than you were at that age?
Oh, beyond. Yeah, they run right. circle. They run circles around me now. I'm 48. Like, there's so much. I don't know.
I can't believe you just said you're. I gotta hang on a second. I need some bone broth.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like sure. to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, listener, it's Jason Bateman. You know him for putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his new podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. His new podcast, in collaboration with us here at Smartless Media, also features longtime This American Life contributor Elna Baker as his co-host. Together, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surf 100-foot waves, ride 600-mile-per-hour rocket sleds, and wrestle crocodiles for fun. On Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
I want to ask a question about, for all the fans, including me, of your acting, which I know we kind of touched on.
Sure.
You had said at somewhere, I forgot how you said it. It was so...
Take your time,
so
Sean.
Well.
Take
you, like,
your time.
Abandoned acting.
She's
acting.
Not busy. She only has a huge corporation to run.
Yeah.
But yeah, really drag it out.
Get your thoughts together and then sound it out.
Have you officially retired? Or is there something we can look forward to? Or for the people that miss you seeing you on screen, would you only agree to something that's in town to film and stuff like that?
I probably wouldn't. I mean, the last time I starred in a movie, I've done some, you know, good supporting parts in Iron Man, as you said, or this movie Country Strong that I did, you know, that was only 4 weeks of shooting like 10 years ago. The last time I starred in a movie, I was pregnant with my daughter. So,
wow.
So if my son goes to college and I feel the calling to do it, I think I would do it then. And in the meantime, well, we're doing another season of The Goop Lab on Netflix, which will come out next year.
That's cool.
And then, you know, if my husband wants me to do something that he's doing, I would probably do that.
Because you're submissive and subservient
Very. To
your man. We got it. We're going to be right back after these messages.
No, we're not going to come back. If that's your question, we will never come back. If that's your actual question, we'll never come back.
Just from a fan perspective, it's just, I want to see you do more. It's
that's
just
nice.
That you're
Thank
so
you.
Talented.
And I'm so terrible. No. It's not my natural comfort. Like,
I know what you mean.
I don't love it. I don't like being famous. I don't like
But you being, do. It you know, does seem like you do enjoy the position and the responsibility of leadership, yeah?
Yes, that's true. And I acknowledge that my fame has given me that platform. Like, that's the platform from which I built this thing. Right. So I'm not, you know, I'm not at all in any way minimizing the importance of it or value of it.
But you've got that
but,
with Goop.
But having said that, you also earned that because of your work. So there's nothing to be embarrassed or ashamed about. Like, you earned that, and it opened those doors in the same way that it does for lots of people in business for whatever it is they've come from. So there's no shame in that. You earned it. In that sense. And also, I was going to think, how funny is it, or unexpected, rather, that you started this company because you had all these ideas, these sort of creative ideas of what things that you want, products that you wanted to bring to market, or things that you wanted to help people with in certain areas. And then as a result of that, you actually have to get into the business side of it and be having all these calls about profit and loss and I'm sure employees and all this kind of shit. Interesting, great, not great, could do without it.
So interesting, so expanding, so hard, so educational, so inspiring, you know, just a host of feelings and experiences that I just can't imagine. You know, all founders have that in common. Like, it's a very strange thing to pour yourself into something like that and then create a group of people to help you do that. And I've just, you know, for me, it's like, I love to learn. And so I've never learned more in trying to figure out how to do this job.
I bet you would say no if I said, would you ever think about going into politics? But if a gun was to your head and you had to be the president of the United States, do you think, I mean, like, there's no choice. You have to, it's done. Do you think that you would figure out how to enjoy it and be good at it for everyone in the country, including those that you have absolutely no agreement with as far as politics? Because I guess that would be the ideal president, right? A president for everybody and figuring out how to balance everything and compromise and whatnot.
I think I would be most interested in the people that I don't agree with. And I think I would learn the most from those people. Yeah, and
I disagree.
I think that when you get rhetoric out of the way, you know, and you get this sort of like soapbox, righteous, didactic stuff out of the way, you're looking at a human being who is a thinking, feeling human being who has formed opinions based on a number of set of circumstances and criteria. And
their chosen information.
And like, how do you, there's so much more for us to learn through connection and understanding than anything else. So I think I would be a terrible president because I don't remember American history whatsoever. But if I was forced to, that would be my approach.
I bet that would be successful.
Well, because we're going to force you.
So the rest of your day today, you have Goop duties, parent duties, partner duties. What?
I have... So we implemented a no meetings Friday at Goop, which is fantastic. So
we do that too. We just started
it's
that.
So great. So everybody can just kind of, so I have a lot of work to catch up on. We just came off of offsite last week and I have some planning and road mapping to do. And then I am going to do that and pick up my son from school. He's just gone back, which is great. And then
is there cooking tonight?
Actually, tonight there's no cooking. My husband and I are going... We're going out to Malibu to eat at one of our favorite restaurants.
Nice. Wow. God, I haven't been to a restaurant in so long. I miss it badly.
So good. It's a place. I don't know if you like oysters and stuff, but it's like an oyster bar and lobster rolls and cheeseburgers.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Oh, my God. So good.
Sounds terrible.
And we eat outside.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, sounds great.
And a couple drinks. You're going to have a couple cocktails. Why not?
Well, I've been really off the sauce, but I've been having a little bit here and there, but so maybe tonight.
Maybe tonight you're going to release the hounds. You're going to have a little bit of whiskey and some oysters. Sounds like a pretty long night for you tonight. Might want to sleep in tomorrow.
I need, and I know you don't have a Goop, man, but I really feel like I need a good face scrub. And I'm not even being coy. I'm being real.
I will vouch for that.
I'll scrub it.
Our face scrub is unisex.
Is it?
And you should get it. It's called Goop Glow. Microderm.
I'll use a woman. I have two older sisters. I used to use their stuff all the time.
It's for everybody. It's not overly femininely fragrant. It's great for men and women. I'll send you some, Will.
I'll
get your address from Danny D's and I'll send you a
Yes. Good. Yes.
I'll send you guys all some Goop.
We're going to hold you to that.
I
need some. Oh, but we ordered some food off the Goop site the other night and loved it.
Thank you. It's
really loved
good.
It.
Yeah. We're excited about that. And so, so excited that, you know, our penises are screaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got to yell into the vagina.
Into lots of vaginas.
This is, if you ever need anybody for a sex ed talk, you know, Jason's your guy now.
Exactly. Where were you, Jason? Where were you?
God, thank you
very,
so much
very
for
nice
doing
of
this.
You to join us.
You
thank
guys
you,
are
Gwyneth.
So great. What a fun. When did you start doing this?
We don't even know.
Out of boredom.
A year ago.
And why?
For no reason.
We wanted to talk.
We have no lives.
Okay.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And
you should do one. Do a Goop chat.
Are you going to say, is there a format? No.
No, is there like a...
You need a Wikipedia and an internet service.
You can attest to this too. You can tell our listener that we don't have any format, that we just start rolling. There's no preamble.
That's great. That's fine, but I was just wondering, is there like a larger thesis around like...
That would require thinking.
The why or what you're trying to...
No. There's no theme, there's no goal. No.
Okay, great. Well, it's really fun.
I've been winging it since 1970. Why would I start planning now?
Thank you for lending some smarts to us today.
Yeah.
And
such a pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of the day.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much.
This is so great. What fun. Thank you so much.
Thanks, right, Gwyneth.
Bye.
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 She's like a warm, cozy blanket you want on you all the time.
Yeah, like a warm, what kind of drink would she be if she would, I guess like a hot chocolate? No.
Hot toddy, maybe.
Something more comforting and soothing.
Like a broth, like a hot broth, like a bone broth.
A bone broth?
Let me just say that. I don't mean to be too indelicate, but I've only met her a handful of times, and I have worked with her mom, whom I adore.
Yeah,
and I just thought she was awesome. She was so...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When I said in the middle, I was like, you're so chill and down to earth and like together.
I know. I got a real crush on her now.
Oh, did it start just now? Welcome to the earth.
Yeah, it did. It did. Uh-huh. It just started. I mean, I never realized. And then just talking to her, I've got a... Yeah.
I think Sean's going to kick Scotty out today.
I think Sean, you've got a crush too.
Yeah, she confuses me.
A little bit, right?
She confuses me.
Wait, Sean. Hang on, Sean. Were you confused?
I was a little confused. I was
right? You know,
found her very attractive, and I liked the little black top she had on.
Terrific.
It's okay to say top, right?
Yep.
With the poofy shoulders.
Yeah, the poofy shoulders.
Short sleeves.
The glasses and the
blowout.
And the hair.
Listener, you missed it. But boy, is she not comfortable in her skin?
So comfortable in her radiant skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in her well-hydrated,
she's got a goop glow.
Glowing.
How great does she... And by the way, this is going to be, people are going to be like, well, this is misogynistic. No, it's not. I mean, any person, any human, I would say they look great. She looks great.
Yeah, she looks fabulous.
Exactly.
And she's got the brains and the everything.
It's okay to compliment somebody
on their looks.
You guys look decent. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not terrible.
I can say that.
Not terrible.
I think I look pretty good.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah. Well.
You know, I mean, if she didn't flip you, Sean, maybe she at least made you...
Bye!
Bye!
Yeah. Smart.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.